Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungela. Our guest today is Mark Vieira. He is a hilarious comedian and actor. You've seen him everywhere from HBO, Comedy Central, BET. He's been all over the place. He's been doing it for years, and he is so funny. I've known him for so long, and I'm so happy that he got to sit down with us today and give us his mattitudes and gratitudes. He has a new special coming out in June called The Art of the Laugh. It'll be on YouTube, so keep an eye out for that. And also, check out my special on YouTube called Ugly Baby. If you haven't seen it, what are you waiting for? Hello? Ugly Baby on YouTube. Go check it out. It's my 7th hour special. I directed this one. So go watch, go laugh, send it to all your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to everything for the Fungela podcast. Go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Go leave us some comments on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you're following us. Come engage with us. Write us an email. Tell us if you need advice on something and you want to hear what we have to say about something you're going through. We'll give you our advice. You want to tell us what your mattitude is, what your gratitude is. We want to hear it. Danielle, give them all the information on how they can contact us.
Yes. So you can call us and leave us a voicemail or send a text message to 747-300-5380. You can email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, on angela.com, there is a form you can fill out there as well.
Yes, indeedy. So contact us and come participate. Be a part of the podcast with us. And until then, enjoy this episode with our guest, Mark Vieira.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on. Let go, let go.
Mark, you're here.
I am here.
Yes.
I'm with my friend, and I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You've been to Nashville before. You've performed here before, yeah?
This is one of those weird things, because I was thinking about this on the flight. You know, when we landed, I'm like, I've never done a comedy club in Nashville in 24 years of doing stand-up comedy.
No way.
Not one. This is my first time.
That's exciting.
It's really exciting, but it's also aggravating. It's one of those, what do you call it? Mattitudes. I'm like,
let's get into
there's so many cities that I haven't been to, and I'm like, I don't know, I can't figure out why. Nashville, so I've done all the schools here, right? I've been to the schools here, performed. I think all comedians have a college run in their career where you're where you're like, I need checks, so I'm gonna do the colleges. And so I've been to Tennessee. I've just not performed at a comedy club in Nashville. It's just weird. But I'm excited for tonight. I'm really excited.
So are you just there tonight?
One night tonight. This is my, how do you say, you're dipping the toes in the water? That's what this is. So
great. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah. Zany's is having me. So let's do it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you took some time to come and be with us.
Yeah. This is nice.
The pad. So we do mattitudes and gratitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a mattitude. Do you have another mattitude of yours?
Do I have another mattitude?
What makes you mad? What comes on your nerves?
Okay, hold on a second. Because I know your new special, because I've been watching your clips.
Oh, thank you.
And it's about, this aging thing, right? Just the aging thing.
Yeah.
And I've, my last hour that I wrote is this aging thing. So here's the difference. I'm older than you. I'll be 53 in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Right? I'm becoming.
You look so good, bro.
Stop it. I'm becoming.
Where's one wrinkle? Give me one wrinkle on your face, you jerk.
Look at this.
I hate you.
I hate my smiley face. I like this face. I'm becoming a grumpy old man.
Are you?
I am. But listen, I'm okay with that.
What do you mean?
Because just everything bothers me. The way people chew, if you slurp while you eat soup, I want to murder you, and it's violent. It's not even like I'm mad at you. I'm like, I would like to hurt you right now. Can you stop slurping on your soup? Just let's just eat the soup. Can we not like do the whole sound effect? So many little things.
Yeah.
As I think as you get older, you just like the quiet and peace of your home.
Uh-huh.
So the second you go out, your antenna are up for everything that's like annoying.
Are you the guy that's now at the window looking through the blinds? Like, what is that out there?
Well, you know, I live in Florida.
You're not New York?
I'm not in New York. I haven't been in New York in 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I live in Florida. I met my fiance in Florida at the Palm Beach Improv before they closed.
Amazing.
And we met at the Palm Beach Improv, and she was like, are you moving here? And I was like, no. She was like, you have to. And I was like, because she had a young son, and she's like, I'm not going to move to New York because my son is only 13. He was 13, 14 at the time. She's like, so, and my sons were older. So I go, okay. I'll try Florida. Let's try this. My mom already lived in Florida, which was kind of cool. So I moved to Florida. And so now I'm dealing with Florida nonsense. Alligators, like just loose alligators. And I'm like, come on, man.
Like feral cats? You got feral
gators? We got feral gators that just like, they just pop up and they chill out right where you live. And it's not even that it's just out, but nobody says anything. Nobody calls anybody. Just leave them alone. And I'm like, but I don't want a dinosaur where I live. Like, it's just like, can it be somewhere else? But so I have issues. Like, those are the issues. Then there's mosquitoes.
And
mosquitoes. Like, and right now, we're getting into the 90 plus on a daily basis.
What part are you in?
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach, yeah.
90 plus. And I'm like, this sucks.
Uh-huh.
This kind of heat on a daily basis, it is relentless. Yeah. And it's just annoying. I know why people are called snowbirds, where they leave the heat and go to a cooler climate. Because I'm like, this is, it can get unbearable. July and August is really unbearable. You get in your car, it's like 200 and something degrees in the car. You got to wait 30 minutes for even the car to cool off. It's just so, everything about Florida annoys me. Like, I'm just like, and my woman is like, you're grumpy. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know how somebody tells you something?
She diagnosed that. Yeah.
She died. She's just like, you're so grumpy. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Because I want, and then now I'm getting grumpy, weirdly, about money. Like, Now I get grumpy about money.
Like how much something cost?
Just everything about like gas prices. I'm like, I was pumping gas.
That is
gas.
Such a dad thing.
Yeah, I was pumping gas and I was like, why is it keep going? Like, why is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why is the numbers going? This is absurd. And then everybody who's pumping gas next to me was just like, I know, right? But like, I was their voice for a second. Like, I was saying what they were thinking.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm so New York that there's some things I can't filter out. But I was like arguing with the handle. Like, I was just like, stop. It keeps going. And it's like, and I'm like, oh my God. So this is where I am at, like soon to be 53. I'm like, listen, I'm just one of those people now where at home is the best place for me. Because the second I go outside, grumpy man is in full effect. It's like, when I'm home, I'm so chill. Oh, I got a little drink. I got a night, you know, I got a water. I freeze water, then I put it on my nights. You know, I'm just like chill. The second I leave the house, I'm like, it stinks in here. What's that smell? And now I'm so 50 something that I'm like, who didn't shower? Like, and people are like, you know, you can see their face where they're like weirdly uncomfortable, but I'm just like, you got to bathe. Like, we got to take showers. We're grown-ups. Like, and so I'm at that, like, so my mattitude is like,
life.
Yeah. Everything but what's like in my controlled environment. Uh-huh. Like, once I leave the controlled environment, and weirdly, my woman's younger than me, 13 years younger, she's 40.
Wow.
So she's like, yeah, I got a little young. No. I got a little stupid. Young. And she's weirdly like that as well.
Uh-huh.
We get on an airplane and she's like, I sit window, she sits middle so that she can put her pillow on my shoulder and make me hot, uncomfortably hot. And so she's like, she whispers in my ear, but she's not whispering.
Uh-huh.
The guy here in the aisle, his breath stinks.
Uh-uh.
And I'm just like, people don't brush their teeth, my love. They just refuse to brush their mouth. and we're having this bold conversation.
Just grumpies.
We are so grumpy together. I think that's what makes the love work, is that when I'm at my grumpiest, she doesn't try to bring me down. She meets me at my grump.
Yeah, that's
She's
good.
Like, yeah, people think. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's just, I'm sorry. It's, but that's my, you know, my, I swear, my attitude is that I'm getting older and I'm having, instead of fighting, I've just embraced grumpy. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm grumpy, dude. That's it. You know, I'm sorry. The fries are cold. The fries are cold. I want hot fry. That's me.
I'll tell you one thing I will complain about is a cold fry.
Cold fries?
Because I'm looking forward to the fry more than whatever it is that I ordered. The fry is labeled on the menu a sidekick. Not in my world.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main event.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm looking forward to is the fry.
Some fries.
To accompany whatever chicken sandwich or whatever I ordered.
Yeah.
And if you bring me a cold fry.
I'm over it. So
I'm going to talk to the manager.
Yeah. I'm raising my. These are cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to need hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't threaten me with a tater tot because I will really lose my mind.
Uh-oh.
I'm a totter.
Oh, I'm not a big I mean, I'll eat them. But if they're on the menu, tater tot or fry, I'm going to go fry.
That's a hard... See, I'm not arguing with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying it would take me a few moments to gather myself to figure out which one I want that in that moment.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes a crispy tot is just overwhelmingly like calling me.
You know what? A crispy tot gives me breakfast for some reason. It gives more breakfast than French fry.
Yeah.
Like it gives off hash brown.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I'm not a breakfast eater. Some people wake up for breakfast. I'm a comedian.
Uh-huh.
I wake up at lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, some comedians are like, I get up at 5, I go for a run. I'm like, well, I get up at 3.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Yeah. And I go for a snack.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I live.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. And that's where my tots. That's why tots are perfect. They're perfect if you're, and I call it intermittent fasting, but I did eat at 1 a.m. So it's, I don't know what to call it. Where people are like, damn, you didn't eat until 3 p.m.? What are you, intermittent fasting? I go,
Yeah.
They don't know that I ate at 2 a.m., you know, a hamburger, you know, so. So a tot to me is, I don't know. It's just I'm a crunch person.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So what is chips and guac? And as a Puerto Rican, especially tostones, that crunch to me is life.
Oh yeah.
So for those that don't know, plantain, when you smash it and you fry it, then you fry it again.
Uh-huh.
That is.
And then you dip it in mayo ketchup.
Yep. And with a little garlic or oil. Mm. That is even another. That's like another. That's another tier. That's going to Puerto Rico to eat those. They come with garlic and mayo ketchup. So, but I'm a crunch fanatic.
Yeah,
so
same.
I go to a Mexican restaurant and they have what are the pork skin chicharrones.
Chicharrones, yes.
They have the chicharrones, and that is like heaven to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That size of a crunch with that salty, some hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, all right, we're good. You could, like you said, there's a main dish.
Yeah.
But that appetizer, that's why I'm there. I go there for the chicharrones, for the guac and the chips. And then I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Let me one up your crunch level on chicharrones.
Let's go.
This is what I did the other day. I made my own chicken tendies. Okay, I battered them myself. And, you know, you put them in the flour, maybe a little bit of cornstarch, whatever. And then I dipped it in crunchy pork rind crust. Dipped my tendy in pork rind dust, and then fried it.
And then fried it.
Oh, my God.
And that was...
That was fat. And it was good.
And it was... And you had some hot fries. Everything was
just
crunchy.
Yeah.
It was too crunchy. That sounds too crunchy.
No. It was incredible.
It's so good.
You should try it sometime.
Yeah.
You should definitely try it sometime.
Yeah. So I'm a crunch person. So that's So I don't know. I like you said, that to me is those side dishes sometimes become the main event just based on the fact that that's what I love the most. You know what I mean? I like food, but Sometimes appetizers are all the rave.
Come on.
Yeah, they're all the rave. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good right here. And my woman's like, you just like to eat. I'm like, I'm good. I'm right here. Yeah. Just leave me right here with my grumpy old self. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm happy.
Sometimes I just want the appetizers. And then if you be like with a group of people and you're like, you guys want to order this, and then they want a different appetizer that was not calling your name, and you're like, oh, you wanted the crab rangoon?
Oh, you want that?
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
When something doesn't have a crunch on it, doesn't this, it's like a letdown. It's oh, we're getting the...
Oh, the artichokes? Cool.
Do the hard sweat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Or, or, I mean, and then you pitch all the crunchy items.
Or you, I mean, get the chicharrones and then, you know, we'll see what we do. How about we do start there and then we see what we want after. You know, just because some people are not crunch people. You know, they're more squishy. They're more like, oh, no, I like banana puree. And you're like, Dad, you're a baby.
Speaking of, don't give me no maduros. Okay.
That's not your jam?
No.
No.
I don't want that.
Listen. All right, I won't give it to you. It's like, yeah, my woman will die for maduro. She would literally, like,
explain what it is.
Maduro is a it's not a plantain. It's just a smaller banana.
Okay.
And they're very sweet already. So what's funny is that those bananas you can eat like a regular banana. But Latinos, we don't accept that.
No.
What we do is we take a banana that you can eat and we cut it open and we slice it up and we fry that into a even more delicious banana morsel. I don't even know how to say it, but it's...
So like a tostone, you deep fry it till it's crispy. And then maduro, it's like taking... I thought it was a plantain. It's not a plantain, you're saying? Okay, I thought it was a plantain, but you... It's still fried, but not crispy. It's just to give it like glaze. Like it's still soft when you eat it.
It's very soft and it becomes even sweeter.
Yeah.
For some reason, when you fry it, it gets even sweeter. But the beauty is when you're eating salty. So when you're having like rice and beans and those... really salty meals, even like a really seasoned, like Latinos, we season. So even a chicken is going to be hella seasoned, right? You got to have something to sort of balance that. And the maduros are that balance. They just sweeten everything down a little bit. I like maduros. I'll cut them up and put them in the rice, you know, with rice and beans together. And I just put it in there. So you have that salty from the, you know, again, the way we make beans is an all-day affair. Latinos, we make beans, and it's an all-day affair. It's not open the can, pour it into a pot, let it heat up for 5 minutes. No. Our beans is an all-day.
They started last night.
Right. Started last night. The preparation started, and we
to soak them.
My grandmother would, 8 a.m. for a 6 p.m. meal. The beans were slowly baking there. And the maduros just cuts through that. That's that salt, you know, that you put that you have in the rice and that you have in the
beans.
It's really good though.
I still don't want it, but that's a good point.
But my pick is a totona any time of the day.
Anytime.
Any time of the day with that crunch, like you said, and all that good stuff. So yeah.
You said your woman.
Yes.
Your fiance. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
She travels with you usually. She wasn't able to make it today.
Yeah.
But is she your road manager?
She is the all the managers.
She's everything manager.
She's the everything manager. Because, you know, what's funny about this business is at some point, you know, you want to share ideas with like-minded folk.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, people come in and they're like, oh, I'm a manager and, you know, I can help you get places, right? Yeah. And then you start telling them where you see yourself.
Okay.
And they have a completely different idea. They go, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I see you as the spokesperson for Honda Acura. And then you're like, no, hold on a second. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And I want someone who can facilitate my ideas and have their own ideas.
Yeah.
But let my ideas be where I'm comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And so... Because the managers that I've had in the past, they've kind of been their own way and they have their own thoughts and their own sort of no, but I have relationships in this thing pile, uh-huh. so I'm gonna stay here. And it's like, well, but I don't. That's not the pile.
I don't like that pile.
So either we make a new pile that, of things that we like, right? So yeah. it's just weird that people think that, you know, especially like the listeners, the people that love watching our, they don't understand how much is going on.
Yeah.
You know, when, before they pull the curtain,
sure,
right?
That sure.
there's so much of me in my stand-up uh-huh. that I don't dare work with someone who doesn't understand my DNA.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to hit it off.
Yeah.
Is that if an agent or a manager comes in and says, tell me about you.
Uh-huh.
That's a good agent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good manner. Tell me about you.
Yeah.
What do you like? Where do you see yourself? That's a great conversation starter.
Yeah.
But when they're like, oh my God, I saw your stand-up and I want to, man, I have a guy.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to put you, I mean, you're going to be the star of this movie. And you're like, I don't want to, so it's weird.
Uh-huh.
Comedians, a lot of us, we don't want to do movies. I don't.
For the record, anybody watching.
No. I mean, but what I'm saying is like, you're going to be,
you don't want to transition into acting. You like stand-up? Is that what
you're like stand-up.
Yeah.
I just like stand-up. I'm not saying I don't want to act. I'm just saying, let the things come and let me sift through the things that I feel comfortable with.
Sure.
Because not every spaghetti that, you know, thing that you throw on the wall for us as you get older and as you put the time in is my spaghetti. It's not my thing.
It's not my
bag. I don't want to do that. And so for example, you get a script tomorrow and it's playing Brad Pitt's wife.
Uh-huh.
And in a scene, you're making out. It's getting hot. Come on. Like.
Sign me up.
I don't want to kiss Brad Pitt. You see what I mean?
Send it to my email.
I'm
please.
Not. I don't want that role.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying. But it's so weird. But that I'm getting that weirdly.
Let me
now
check my email in case
that actually came in. I'm manifesting that for you. But it's like weird now that the roles that your people are sending me are like, oh, you're the dad,
uh-huh.
and your wife is Gladys, and she's
remember off. Going from like the younger,
yeah,
like you're the guy in the club, you're the guy at the bar, that blah blah blah,
and you got moves, and you're dancing on the dance floor. Now they're
and
like, now they're like, you have a walker,
no,
and
yeah.
you know, and you do have a limp.
You're, yeah.
We don't know why.
Your
we
adult
explain it
child
later.
Has come home to visit and
creates mayhem. Yeah. Okay, let's go with that. And so there's just things that I think at my tenure in this business is like I'm good.
Yeah,
I know.
I hear you.
And people are like, no, but we have money, and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I do stand up, and I'm really happy with this thing.
Good for you.
I'm good. Like I want to do things, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to make out
with
anybody,
Pitt.
But especially Brad Pitt. I know. But my woman, like it's just a thing. Like I'm just
good
like
for you.
Yeah. I've drew the line in the sand for me where I'm like I have a moral standard,
uh-huh.
and that's okay with me.
That's good. That's good.
It might not be okay with everybody else. Oh no, but we want you. Okay.
No, I hear
I
you.
Know what you want.
Yeah, there's things I would do.
And we're
sure.
gonna get close to it, right? Uh-huh. I'll hug somebody, and it looks like we're gonna go in for the big kiss, but uh-huh. then the stunt double
good
gotta come in, the kiss double gotta come in for the kiss, because you know, yeah. So and that's just a thing about why me and my fiance are so good at working together.
Yeah,
because we discuss all aspects of this business.
Uh-huh.
She's from LA originally. And her family already has been in the show business,
uh-huh.
so she's not wooed.
What did
show
she
business.
Do before she started working with you?
Well, she's an esthetician by trade.
Okay,
so she's a licensed esthetician in Florida.
Okay,
so she does you know facials and all that other
nice.
Stuff. But her family has always been in entertainment, and her you know she moved to Florida when she got married, and so
okay.
she divorced and so on. Same thing with me.
Yeah.
Me from New York, and we met at the improv. But she was an esthetician. She was just doing her thing. She had a salon and she was doing her thing.
Yeah.
And I was doing my thing. And then later, like 4 years in, she saw me struggling with the daily decisions. And she was like, you don't really need to be.
Yeah.
Why are you fighting with the
let me do this.
People. You know?
Yeah.
Why are you the bad guy? Because when you say no to you know, to a club offer.
Yeah, it's different.
They're mad at Mark Vieira.
Yeah.
We need a block between you and them so that you just show up and do your show.
That's right. That's right.
And she's, I got to be honest with you, I cannot ask for, honestly, a better representative.
Crushing it.
Because she's, her bottom line is me.
Yeah.
And with me is us.
Yeah.
So when I make money and we do well and we sell out a weekend.
Yeah.
She's responsible, just as responsible.
Yeah.
Pay her her manager's fee.
Hey.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And we are excited.
Yeah.
About taking the comedy club and now doing some theaters and
great,
right? And she's spearheading these ideas where I That's was awesome. Before COVID, I was like, yeah. Oh no, I want to do
yeah.
you know the big theater and the blah blah and this yeah. and that. And COVID was like,
you sure about that?
You want to take a break?
Yeah, how about let's rest instead?
I'll take a little break from comedy. What else can you do?
Yeah.
What else can you do? Because you're not going to do stand-up for a while. Do you have other interests?
Is that when you started your class that you were doing? That's so cool. Tell me about that. I know we're going to move into gratitude. And I'm sure, yeah. I mean, your fiance is probably in your gratitude and, yes. and whatever. But it just reminded me of your class that you teach. Mm-hmm. You teach stand-up comedy to aspiring comedians
yeah.
on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start that? How did you get the students? Like, if it was all online, how'd you find them? How'd they find you?
Believe it or not, a lot of times it's just questions that I get from random people
uh-huh.
that just get in my DM and go, hey, how do I start?
Uh-huh.
How do I even pick up the pen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, you know, what's the process? And so after doing that a few times where you're like trying to be nice,
yeah.
I was just like, okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
And I got with my social media team and I was like, okay, how can we make this work? And Zoom was like mm-hmm. the COVID superhero.
Yeah.
Flew in and was like, you can do comedy at yeah. home from your computer if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was, I mean, I'm not going to argue about the checks that I got
sure.
doing comedy on Zoom, but that's what really sparked this
uh-huh.
this idea. And then the hard part was creating the outline for this workshop
yeah.
for people to kind of understand what they're getting for the money.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be told, you're going to be funny in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah. yeah.
You can't. You have to give them something that they can feel,
a
touch,
curriculum.
And understand. A curriculum, if you will. And that's what I did. I created a 5-7 week sort of crash course into putting your funny on paper
mm-hmm.
because not everybody, this wasn't geared to aspiring comedians only. It was geared to anyone who had to stand up in front of
public speaking,
an audience, and either do public speaking, stand-up comedy writing, you know, people think they want to be comedians until
yeah.
they get on stage.
Sure, sure, sure.
Then all hell breaks loose inside.
Yeah.
And it's either I love this feeling or I hate this feeling.
Uh-huh.
I want to throw up right before I go on stage. I got to run and go poop. Like
yeah.
I've heard all the stories.
Yep.
Like right before I get on stage, my stomach just doesn't hold anything.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah. The nerves.
Oh,
the
my
nerves,
gosh.
Right?
The amount of times I have pooped at the Hollywood Improv. Let me tell you.
Excuse me. Like, they're like, you're on in 6 minutes and you're like seven,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me seven because I got to run to the back. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know but it's the truth.
Yeah.
So I always felt like the one way to help with nerves is to be ugly prepared, is to be so prepared that yeah. the audience just becomes a witness to your preparation.
Ooh, okay.
And that is what my workshop was basically for. Because there are people that have to do a conference for their job.
Sure.
And they took my workshop.
Great.
And they were just like, no, I got to do 5 conferences a year,
uh-huh.
but I want to be more personal.
Good on them.
When I'm speaking. And I thought this would be the right way. A comedian is always looking for a personal angle.
Yeah.
And so that was the gist of it is
yeah.
that I figured out how I think to do my comedy. And uh-huh. I was like, okay, if I can share these nuggets, not everything,
sure.
but share the nuggets that help people to go from idea to paper,
mm-hmm.
paper to the stage
mm-hmm.
or, you know, in front of the audience that they have, then they can work on getting just better at at it, you know?
Are you still teaching the class?
I do. I would love to do it more. It's just so time consuming.
Yeah, I bet.
It is just so hard because you gotta, if you're gonna do 7 weeks, then you have to allot those seven straight weeks to get people. The only problem that I had at the end is I always wanted to do like a graduation class for them, those who wanted to do stand up, the 405 or, you know, say six people. The problem is just because they took your course doesn't mean they're ready to get on stage and rock.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and do six minutes when you're new.
That's a long time.
That's a long, especially if it ain't going so good, right? If and you know,
and then you look at the clock and you're only on for 48 seconds. You're like, oh my God,
I gotta go to the bathroom again. Yeah, right. Like so yeah. It really, and I gotta be honest with you, the beauty of doing this, it really helps me be creative because because when you're in a room with creative people, you're giving.
Yeah.
And giving is weirdly the best part of comedy is when I'm giving you an idea, then I'm also giving myself an idea in the thing I just gave you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, do you ever do a bit about Bonzo? Right? And I'm and you're like, no, I never thought of I gave you that, but in my head I'm like, I never thought of my Bonzo, which is my you know, my parrot or whatever it is. It's so weird that when you start to put yourself in a creative space, how creative, there's like there's a rhythm to creativity. Oh, yeah. It's just a rhythm to
it.
I
love it.
And I love that part. So the workshop, and the fact that I haven't done it in 8 or 9 months, that's why I miss that. I miss that part. So the workshop is fun for them, but really engaging for me with how I hold comedy in my hands.
You know?
Most comedians don't ever get to hold it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm holding comedy. Like I got it. I got it. I'm good. Like we're right. And now I can share because I got it. I can share some things that's helpful. And 2 out of 10, because I only take about 10, 11 people, 2 out of 10 take what I say seriously. And one guy is like the poster boy for my workshop.
Oh, good. He's out there killing it.
Past at comedy clubs in New York City.
Nice.
Working every night. Well works done. A day job, but still is like hustling these jokes. That's what I call it, right? Yeah. In the beginning, when you have to work to pay your bills, but you got to get it, you know, you got to go home, quick shower, and be at the comedy club at 7:15 for the first show. That's a hustle.
Yeah.
That's a grind. And he's grinding. And he is, I just look at him and I go, man, and the other, you know, people that took the workshop, they hang around him and they see the emphaticness, that level of like tenacity to want to succeed at something. Yeah. They look at him as like the go-to because he's got it. He's got that little extra gear where he's like, I could be home watching nothing or I could be out there, you know.
Do you want to say his name or is it?
Yeah, his name is Big Red.
Big Red.
Big Red.
Shout out Big Red.
Shout out Big Red, man.
Out there crushing it.
Yeah. And now he's doing like podcasts because I think people are wondering, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
How did you, you know, how did you go from working at, you know, Johnny's rest stop and now you're like making a name? He's got followers.
Well
he's
done.
Got a little fan base. And that's exciting. Yeah. Exciting for me because I'm like, when I end up at the workshop, I'm like, if you can do this, this, and this. Things can happen, but I'm telling you, just gotta be ugly about how much you want it.
You know? Do you miss the New York club scene now that you're in Florida? No?
No.
Because you were in it for years.
I was there for so long, and starting your comedy career in New York is unlike starting anywhere else.
Sure.
You have to give out tickets in the streets to get a few minutes. And I remember giving out it was 5 for 5, right? So give out 5 of these little tickets. And if those 5 tickets came into the club, you earned 5 minutes.
Stop.
Honest to God.
So if like 3 people came in, do you get 3 minutes or you don't get to go up?
Nothing.
No.
You need the 5?
Do them 3 roll over to the next week?
Nope.
Uh-uh.
You know how many times?
Get out of town.
Listen to me. You know how many times I stood out in the cold on the corner of Broadway in New York City, giving out those tickets, got four people, and was told, not tonight, Mark.
Oh, my God.
Wasted 2 hours of my night and didn't get the five. And there's another comedian named Jimmy Fallon, who's now on Fox, you know, Fox News.
He's I believe it's Fallon.
No.
Just kidding.
Not Fallon, Jimmy Fallon. He's, but he was with me. And 20 plus years later, I see him on Fox News, you know, doing his thing. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter. Like, he's just doing his, this comedian doing his thing.
Yeah.
And I say, the amount of respect that I have for him and Brian Callen, we start in the same place. Yeah. Like New York City, like I say bloody knuckles because we were out there just to get a couple minutes, man.
Yeah.
And when I did, but here's the beauty of this, right? When I did get the five and I got to do a guest spot on a pro show in between Patrice O'Neal, Judy Gold, Jessica Kirsten, the Sklar brothers, like they were the monsters that were working their sets. Jim Norton, like they were just comics doing time. You know, they were doing 11, 12 minute sets, right? Yeah. They were getting paid 50, 60 bucks, whatever it was for the set. I was getting paid zero, but boy, do you learn comedy when you're standing in the, you know, you're allowed to stand in the cut, like by the curtain with the, you know, and watch great comics become great. They weren't great yet, but they were working on it, man. And I was very, 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 very lucky,
That's you know,
because Chappelle would walk in at that time. Robin Williams would walk in at that time. Billy Crystal would walk in and do five. Seinfeld. Like the potential was endless just to be there.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, holy smokes. I'm learning comedy from the inside.
Mm.
You know, like I get to stand in the room and watch them work a bit out.
Yeah.
You know, that because they were being interviewed and all that stuff. That just all that stuff was important. It's more important now, 20 plus years later. That young comics are watching me, you know, and they're like, oh my God, I watched you work that bit and I saw you do it on Comics Unleashed the other night. It was amazing. And I'm like, yeah, because before I go on Comics Unleashed, I worked every bit.
Yeah.
Before I presented it to everyone, I worked it 1,000 times, you know, and showing up, you know, at random shows and like, can I just do five, you know?
Yeah.
So, but those, that's important.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's another thing on your gratitude list, but let's go and fully into gratitude.
Yeah.
What are you grateful for throughout your life? And again, we just talked about some incredible things from your life, from your fiance to being able to learn comedy from the inside and all of that. What is something that you are grateful for?
I've been through a lot in this 52 years. I've been through a lot. And I'm grateful to have had the experiences, and I'm more grateful to come out of the experiences. That's what I'm really grateful for, that I'm grateful that I didn't get stuck anywhere. That I, since the very beginning, you know, I used to work at a gym, then I was in law enforcement in New York City.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I went and
you
worked.
Were a police officer?
Yeah. I was corporate America after that, you know, because everybody wanted to hire me because I had the law enforcement background. So I went into the Office of Emergency Management in New York City.
Wow.
Like I was doing really good, big things. I trained with the United States Army in this you know, brand new thing. And I got licensed in it and I was making really good money. But my dream to be funny was never not nagging.
Yeah.
So what I'm most grateful for is that even though I had all these things, I'm grateful that I was able to pick up and move forward constantly.
Right. Cause it's so easy to stay stagnant and just stuck where, not even the word stuck, but just stay, comfortable, stay, just where you are familiar. Like it's easy to stay, well, this is what I know. So let's stay here. Good on you. I have some follow-up questions about law enforcement because, you know, crime shows is my
Well, I'm a big crime show person. So,
how long were you a police officer?
5 years.
5 years? Where was your You're beat.
We were in New York City and we were in the hospital sectors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay. So like somebody comes in with a gunshot wound and then you're listening for like there was a robbery.
Everything.
And you're like, yeah, we got him. He's here getting patched
properties,
up.
Properties, property, all pertinent, you know, initial information that comes from. And then when everybody else comes in, we relay that information, uh-huh. You know, all that. It was, and in the Bronx, at a time when the gangs were real high, it was a very high stress environment.
Wow.
5 years was enough.
Uh-huh.
5 years was more than enough for me. Uh-huh. Grateful to have moved on,
yeah.
And done something, like I said, and move on and not feel like I had to stay. Like I was smart enough to move on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, grateful for.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like you just said something that I try to tell people, the hardest thing for people to do is change.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Yeah.
Changing your money situation. Changing your spending habits,
yeah.
Changing your job, changing your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Most people just stay.
Yeah.
I don't want to change. I got to find somebody new.
Yeah.
I got to deal with learning somebody new habits.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's just you talk yourself out of change.
Yeah.
But evolution is necessary because we're constantly changing, yeah. Right? Your needs, wants, interests, they constantly change.
Yeah.
So if I'm accepting my change, the person that I'm journeying with has to also accept my changes, and I have to do the same for them.
Yeah.
Manny's changed 1,000 times since you've known him.
Yeah.
You know, and that what he's becoming is important to him, should be important to you.
Yeah.
I tell my woman all the time, I'm not the man I want to be yet. Mm. So I'm grateful that you hang with me as I'm becoming him.
That's incredible.
You know, because I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm really not there yet. I work on it daily. I told you, after losing my son, the work that it took to exist as a dad that has lost a son.
Yeah.
It's another journey. It took me this way, right? I was going that way and everything was good, but now I had to learn again, faced with changing again and saying, okay.
How long has it been since your son passed?
4 years.
4 years. Does it feel like yesterday? Does it just time? Everybody says, time.
No, like it just happened.
Oh,
like it just happened. There is no, you know, time doesn't heal this wound.
Mm-mm.
That time doesn't heal this wound. Time just allows you to have perspective. And the perspective is that I couldn't do anything to help. And see, he was in a motorcycle accident and he didn't survive. So the tragedy is that if I can't accept that no matter what I did, I couldn't save him from that. Yeah. It's just what it was going to be.
Wow.
It was his journey. It's a part of his journey, not mine.
Yeah.
So I have to accept that. And that's incredibly difficult for parents.
Mm.
When they lose a kid, no matter how they lose them,
sure.
Doesn't matter. But owning a way to live without them is the guilt.
Mm.
No, you're gonna have to deal with guilt because I laughed yesterday.
Ugh.
And
I
shouldn't be laughing because he's not.
Right.
I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't
oh
be
my God,
that.
That's
but,
so hard.
But hold on. I've done that.
Yeah.
And I've beat myself up about it. And I beat myself up about having to go back and do stand up.
Oh my God.
When I didn't have a reason to laugh anymore. Like, and so it was so much growth that now I'm like, listen, if you ask me, I cry every single day. I love my son every single day. Like he's here. Doesn't matter. But I can't be sad every day for that long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'm over that. I'm over, like, girl, I've spent hours on the shower floor crying my eyes out, girl.
Wow.
And I said, I can't do it. I can't do this no more.
Oh, my God.
So I went through some really special therapy that helped me get past that part. I'm never going to get past him, right?
Right,
And sometimes music comes on. I'm a blubbering fool.
Yeah.
His favorite song.
Yeah.
His favorite whatever. Food.
Yeah.
He was a foodie like his daddy, right? His favorite movie. He was a movie buff like me.
Yeah.
Whenever, like, I just watched Mortal Kombat, right? Shout out to the Mortal Kombat people. They make me happy, right? Uh-huh. I was the video game guy, and then all of a sudden they're making movies, and I'm just like, yeah. But my son and I, that was our jam together. Yeah. And so when I left the movie theater, I cried a little bit because I'm like, I just wish he was sitting next to me. Damn. Because that movie would have made him so happy. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. He just would have been so stoked. Because I was like, I was fighting when I got out of the movie. I was throwing kicks. And, you know, like, because I was just like, this was perfect, right? Yeah. It was all you. And then I stopped and I look at my woman because she's so down. Like, she goes with me to things. She doesn't want to see more. She's just like, I don't want to see this. Like, I don't. Yeah. This is so stupid. But she goes because she knows I don't have a partner anymore. Yeah. You know, I don't have that partner that gym guy. Yeah. She goes to the gym with me because she's like, you don't have the gym bro no more. Your son was the gym guy. You know, he was like, Dad, what time are we working out? You know, and now she goes with me because she knows that when I'm in the gym, I'm close to him. You know, and or like in a movie, I'm close to him and things like that. So it's just those little things that keep me close to him. Mm-hmm. It make me sad, but I'm not gonna. It doesn't need to extend to a full day of, of sadness. Yeah. And sadness is just gonna be a part of my existence now. But I can't let it be all of my existence. I still owe the people this funny, and I'm not. And Marky would have. He would have like the biggest in the audience fan of mine. When I tell you know, he was in his 20s, so he would bring all of his friends to the show. And he would just be gleaming at me on stage and his friends dying laughing.
Yeah.
He would just be like, that's my dad. You know, that's my guy. And so, you know, I owe him to continue to make people laugh. And I also owe him the moments where I just bask in his beauty. Right. Yeah. My son was the best.
God bless him.
Yeah.
How old was he when he passed?
26.
26.
Mm-hmm. Handsome with a full life ahead of him.
You know? Yeah.
And
I remember seeing your pictures you posted of him.
It's just the best. Yeah. It's just the best, you know, to see them grow and, you know, become grown-ups and functioning members of society.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was he's just a beautiful human being.
Yeah.
And that's the gold medal a parent wears is when somebody goes, oh my God, I met your daughter Rosie the other day. She's so sweet. She's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a beauty. Like, she helped me with my groceries. Those are the things that later on when you're older and she's out in the world, that when you hear, you sit back in the chair and you go, we did good.
Yeah.
She's a good person.
Yeah.
She's not just my daughter.
Yeah.
She's a good person.
Do you still keep in touch with any of your son's friends?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a circle.
Good.
We got a circle. They keep me very in touch with, you know, the things that he would be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like they're having kids, you know, they're 30.
Yeah.
You know, he would be 30 now. So they're having kids and they're, you know, they're doing their thing. And that's just like, that's what I would have wanted for my son, to settle down, give me a grandbaby at some point that I could fall in love with because I loved him so much. It's that, right? Those things. I'll start crying, but those things are what you wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you keep in touch with his friends still.
I do.
And they still reach out to you. And
they all call me Pop. Really, it's the best thing. They go, hey, what's up, Pop? What are you doing? I love that. I just love that. You know, it's so respectful that they are like, you're not just his dad. You're our dad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I took Mark out, like, to go go-karting and stuff, I would invite all his friends, pay for everything. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd just be like, then I go pay for dinner. Like, I was their dad, too. In that moment, when you're with me, I'm responsible for the group.
Yeah.
You know, and even though you're in your 20s, it don't matter.
Uh-huh. Mijo, all of you.
All of you. Everybody's good. Don't worry. It's all paid. I paid for 10. Don't worry. They're like, oh, do we give you? I'm like, no, you're not going to give me anything. Let's go have a great time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the money. We're good. Like, and it's not about I had it. It's not about having it. It's about knowing your place in that in the bigger picture. And I was just always that guy, you know. We're going out, I'll take care of it, and you guys just have fun. You know?
Have you talked about your son in your stand up since? Have you?
Not since. I talked about, I used to do a, like funny, like classic Mark Vieira bits about my son when cell phones first, when, sure. When we started giving our kids cell phones, like when uh-huh. they were like, when he was young, maybe 13, 14, I got him his first phone. Because uh-huh. it just, that's when we could afford like to do that.
Yeah.
And then our kids had their own world with the cell phones. I did these classic jokes like getting a text from your kid within the house.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, just come.
I'm right here.
Just come right here. I don't. Right? Like.
You're up. Are you texting me?
Are you texting? I'm right here. It's that. So I wrote these bits about like, so I have all these, you know, these memorable bits yeah. that I did. But since then, since the accident, it just, it's like when people go, how come you never write about, you know, being a cop? And I go, there was just nothing funny. Mm. There's nothing creative that I can, I can pull. Mm. And I can't pull anything after yeah. him passing away. I just can't. That's not a well that yeah. I can go into.
Sure.
Maybe not yet. Maybe it's yeah. just a not yet thing.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been there yet for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe yeah. it won't.
And maybe it won't. Yeah. Maybe those things stay where they are. And I just go about my business writing about, uh-huh. you know, becoming what is after this, right?
Uh-huh.
But it's weird because anytime I say, you know, my son, I'm on stage and I go, you know, my oldest son, Mark, passed away. It really takes the air out of the audience.
Yeah.
That's what comedians, they don't want to do.
Sure, sure, sure.
They don't, because then you got to fight for your energy back, the good energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I've said that and you just don't, you know, there are parents grieving silently and hurting silently. Mm-hmm. And you say that and the dynamic of the show for them has changed completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they can't get over what you just said.
Yeah.
Because they went through it.
Yeah.
And it might be a nephew.
Yeah.
It might be a, right? And they're just done. Mm-hmm. So it's just a weird
yeah.
thing. Maybe a one-man show type. Because I've thought yeah. of, you know, I grew up without a dad. And I always talk about trying to be a father without the blueprint is it's just understated how hard that is
mm-hmm.
to not have had a father figure, yet you're trying to be the perfect dad.
Wow.
Oh, you muck it up real bad. Wow. I have messed this up on so many occasions because the only dads I've ever known have been on Good Times.
Sure.
You know, The Cosby Show,
uh-huh.
Family Ties, you know, any nuclear family like that yeah. that was on TV, the dad was my dad. Because mm-hmm. when they were getting yelled at for misbehaving, missing homework, that never happened to me.
Wow.
Ever. So I don't know what that's like. I don't know but also I don't know what that love is like. Mm-hmm. To have a dad put his hand on your shoulder and say, son, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's like. So to have to make that up as wow. I'm just going along, like yeah. I was
you
just.
You start quoting the TV shows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my son's like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, we've been moving on up to the east. I'm like, I don't know. I gotta reference, you know, James Evans on yeah. this one because yeah. I have no idea, you know, and no clue what, you know. So I'd, you know, written, you know, I only knew about my dad. Mm. I never knew the man.
Yeah, wow.
That's a hard thing to be like, oh, your father's a Army Ranger and he's in Vietnam wow. and he did this and that and the other thing. And
you never met him?
I met him like three times in my whole life. But he never was a dad. He was just a guy I met, you sure. know, who was sure, like, sure, hey, sure. how you doing there, yeah. kid, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like me. And I'm like, wow. yeah. And then he was just like, I'll see you next time. And then yeah. never saw him next time. Wow. So, but fatherhood is so much more than that.
Yeah.
You know, when your kids are looking to you for answers, and again, how do I become a real man? They look at their dad, right? Mm-hmm. And little girls, mm-hmm. that's where they learn to be loved by a man, is through their dad.
Yeah.
And that's critically important.
Yeah.
But when I had my first son, I was only 22 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I was still very, very young.
So young.
And really inexperienced. Because I didn't have that, you yeah. know, the real father to sure. to teach me. So that so much has happened.
Mm-hmm.
you know, to show me how to do it. And then I had a second son, but I already had a first one. So that one was a little easier because I was just like, oh, don't sweat the small stuff now, right? And then, yeah, I just didn't sweat everything that I sweated with Mark. Mark was like, I was the worst. Mm. I was strict. I was like militant, you know, get up early, homework done early. If you want to play, you have to finish your homework. You know, this, I was just the worst. Then Xavier came in. I was just like, do your homework whenever you want. I don't care. And Mark was like, how come I had to do my homework at 3 o'clock when I first just got home from school? You know, I didn't even get a chance to take my sneakers off. And you were like, finish your homework, you know? And it was just, you just learn, you know, mm-hmm. and you get more flexible on the second one. but you got to have the second one to sort of learn that old piece. But anyways, yeah, I feel like I've been an overachieving dad, you know, because the blueprint wasn't
clear. Yeah. Give me another gratitude from your life.
I'm, you know, I love being Latino so much.
Okay.
So I'm really grateful that my grandparents did what they did, that they took this incredible leap of faith to leave Puerto Rico, their land where they were comfortable and they knew everything and they knew everyone, and they left all of that to come to New York and really try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm grateful for that is because I wouldn't have this kind of angry approach to my life if it wasn't for how hard I saw them work.
Okay.
To see someone work that hard. You know, when I started working and I started to make money and I started to realize how easy I had it because they didn't even know the language. Mm-hmm. Here I am, you know, hey, how are you? And my grandmother could barely say that. Mm-hmm. You know, she could barely say, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, would come out with this thick accent, you know. And, you know, accents are frowned upon, you know. And my grandfather, who was, you know, Bourbon Brown from Puerto Rico, you know, at the time that he came to New York, he was colored. Mm. He couldn't drink out of water fountains. He couldn't eat at certain restaurants, you know, even though he served his country, still couldn't.
Wow.
Still couldn't. And so I understand, you know, I am grateful that they endured that, still worked hard and set a blueprint for me to be successful, because the one thing that they didn't do was give up. They just didn't. They just kept throwing punches and they kept, you know, working, and that's what they knew, and that's what I'm grateful for. That I know what hard work looks like, because now as a comedian, you know, I know you know this. You could still be doing the set you did 10 years ago and still be making great money, but you don't. You write new stuff, you write new hours, you allow your creativity be your, almost like your calling card, because that has nothing to do with them and everything to do with you. Mm-hmm. I love creating for the audience because I'm changing, but at least I'm willing to have the courage to recognize the changes. Sometimes they're not good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're hilarious.
Yeah.
But they're worth telling the audience about.
Yeah.
And so, I'm grateful that my grandparents were like, mijo, if you're going to do it, if you're going to quit your job, then, you know, this is what they said. Do me a favor. All the way or nothing.
Yeah.
It's like have that in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like go, gas pedal down, car is careening out of control, but you control it and you get there. Get there. And so, and for us as comedians, it's like getting there is not the end. Getting there is this journey. It's this beautiful life, because we don't have to punch a clock. We We get ready Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday show, Friday show, Saturday show. Sunday, we're able to, you know, ride the wave of the weekend and sort of briskly just go into Monday again. Like, that was crazy. So many people came.
That was crazy.
See the people laughing. It's amazing. You know, and I do that. I take my time to appreciate the weekends for how crazy they can get.
Yeah.
And how crazy people are about laughing. And I embrace that. And but I'll be honest with you, I love the 3 or 4 days that we get off. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
Right? They're just like, because we're off.
Yeah.
I can turn comedian off and I could just go back to being grumpy and hungry, right? I can go back to the gym. I can go back to the life, sort of, because that's where we're writing, you know. So when you when you're performing, you're not really writing, you're on the edge of your own seat. Uh-huh. You know, I want to say this right, and then I want to do this bit. And blah, blah, blah. But then when you're home, you're like, oh my God. You know, my woman just walks in the room and gives me more material. And I just like, I love it so much. Like, because it's a show, right? It's so good.
Are your grandparents still with us?
No.
No? Did they ever get to see you do stand up?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
My grandmother loved my stand up.
Oh, that's awesome.
She loved it. She loved it. My grandfather didn't like noise that much.
He was grumpy. That's where you get it from?
That's where I get it from. He passed that down. The grumpy, the grumpy Jeep.
Turn the microphone off.
My grandmother, though? That was, you know, some comedians, you know, it's like, oh, a million. I'll be good if I make a million. I've made my million.
Mm.
My grandmother watched me do stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all the bits about her, you know, with her pillow in the window, chimosa, with everybody's business, yelling it out from 5 stories in New York. And oh my God. And she, after the show, she said, Mira, you owe me money. Because all you did was do jokes about me. And I go, Mommy, like, you're the cute, you know, 4'10" tall, of just the most cutest.
You owe me money.
You owe me? Everybody laughing because of me. I'm like, oh my God. And then it just it almost like, even to this day, I do bits every single show. I do one about her and one about him, just to pay homage to them. This just doesn't matter. I just do one little bit and I say, Mommy, this one's for you. And Puppy, that's for you. I put it in my pocket. Beautiful. Like, show the audience knows who they are.
I love that.
Because they're they raised. They did the raising. They're the hard part.
You know?
I had a mom. My mom was a little cuckoo at that time.
Yeah.
But moms from the 70s, they get that. No, they get that. They get that card.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, you're a mom in 68. My mother became a mom in 68, so my brother was born. My mother was listening to rock and roll. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, she was a hippie.
She was at Studio 54.
Yeah. So, you know, the Palladium when it opened, you know, that's that time. So she didn't really want to be a mom. She just became a mom.
Yeah.
And so she was like, here, my mother's going to take care of these kids because they got, let me tell you, it's going to be rocking tonight at Studio 50. And so my grandmother had to do the heavy lifting. And that's okay. You know, I always look back and I say, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God she was willing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm so glad that they got to see you do stand up and I hope you gave your grandma some money for that.
I gave her. I tell my woman all the time, that was the one woman, like, she'd be fighting for space. If she was alive right now, she'd be, because Danielle gets everything, right? She gets everything. I just love her so much. I'm like, whatever you want. I don't care. But my grandmother was like, Mommy, whatever. Like, I would, she loved, it's just so funny. She loved going to Target.
Yeah. Like, her food does.
She just loved it.
Uh-huh. Bless her.
I would buy her new chanclas, like little things like that. Grandmothers love. They just, new slippers. It's like a life changing, right? It's like she would come home and be like, "Look, I got new chanclas," and I would be like, "They're just, they were like $8.99." It was like I bought a Gucci slipper, you know what I mean? But they were just from Target. But she loved it. She just loved it, and I loved that she loved. That I pampered her.
Yeah.
She just wanted to be pampered.
Cutie.
And I was like, Mommy, let's go by Target. Vamano. Uh-huh. Get in the car. And at 11 p.m., she's saying, I want coffee. Ooh. And my mother would say, don't get her coffee. It's late. She won't sleep. And I said, should I leave her alone? She's getting coffee. Uh-huh. And we would like go to like some weird late night spot. And
I'd get some after-hours coffee.
And she wouldn't sleep. And I'd be in so, my mother would be, oh my, my mother would be so mad. Like the next day, she'd be like, you're a jerk. You didn't, you should have never got a coffee. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? Uh-huh. It's so funny. But I would just would do anything for her, you know? To grow up without a lot of money and then to not have to like worry about every dollar. That was the change. And yeah. I was like, mommy, whatever you want to get from Target.
Yeah.
Like, let's get it. Uh-huh. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then now my mother's sneaky. My mother wears the stuff that I got her. Uh-oh. And I'm like, you fought with me?
I recognize those chanclas.
Those chanclas. Put them in the closet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Before we wrap things up, Danielle, she has some rapid fire and... They're not so rapid fire, but what she's going to do is she's going to give you a situation.
Okay.
And you tell us if you would be grateful for that situation or mad about that situation.
Okay.
Is this a gratitude or mattitude for you?
Okay.
Yes. Show us your grumpy side is probably what's going to, just kidding. The first one, we travel a lot. Your flight is delayed, but only by 30 minutes. How we feeling?
I've been flying so long. I'm gonna say I'm still on the gratitude side. I'm still gonna get home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's canceled flights.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When they just tell you, yeah, that flight's canceled, you're gonna have to go home tomorrow. Mm. That's big time mattitude.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm losing it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, no, you're gonna find me another flight. Allegiant, Sunrise, I don't care what airline.
Call one of your friends.
Call one of your friends. Skateboard. Electric bike, get me home. Uh-huh. Because after a weekend, and I think for those of us who travel, the goal is get home, right?
Yeah.
Just want to get home.
Yeah.
Home becomes, I always use this as an analogy. It's like Superman can only get stronger again for the next battle when he gets to the Fortress of Solitude and he's basking in the sunlight and that refreshes him from the cellular way.
Yeah.
That you can't see. It's in my cells. When I get home, it's cellular growth.
Yeah.
I get back home, I'm calm, I'm in my space. I can't do that in a hotel.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. You know? So that's why those canceled flights and where you didn't plan to be out another day. Oh, right. that'll turn you into a monster. A monster. Mm-hmm. I'm that guy. I'm at the airport throwing stuff, slamming things. Why? You know, I'm that guy. I'm just like, I'm losing it. I'm losing composure. Yeah, yeah.
Give me another one, Danielle.
Being added to a new group chat on texting.
Oh, that's instant mattitude. That's not even thinking about that one. That's instant. Who put me in this? And now that. Texting.
And then you don't even recognize some of the numbers in there?
No, you don't. Mattitude?
Yeah.
Highest level. Yeah. Because now you got photos of people you don't even know?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Why am I getting pictures of someone, and you know, someone's kid at the school dance? I don't even know. Should I be happy or mad?
Yeah.
She looks slutty. Why did she wear that? You know, you're like, why would you send your 13-year-old in a mini dress? Like, no. No, mattitude. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Having to assemble furniture or connect a new gadget?
Okay. Weirdly, I like new stuff.
Okay.
So I'm going to say gratitude on the side. That I'm a box opener.
Okay.
When things come from Amazon, I get nervous because I'm like, what if they sent me extra? Then I would be so happy, right? Not only did I get what I paid for, but like sometimes they're like, here.
Oh yeah.
How about you know a tester?
Two of these.
Yeah, a tester, and you're like, there's a tester. Now I got extra. Like I didn't ask for that. Like those things, gratitude. Now, if it's a building something, I'm attitude.
Okay.
I'm not a, this is why I'm a comedian. I'm not handy at all. I'm not a hammer guy. I just took apart my Dyson vacuum because it was disgusting. And I told my woman, I watched this on YouTube 42 times. 42 times. I'm positive I can do this. Took me 3 hours to put it back together. It took me 1 minute to take it apart. 4 hours to put it back together. I was like, it doesn't clip. There's something wrong with the clip. And she's like, you took it apart. I go, I don't know how to put it back. Like, I was going to call for backup. Like, I was like, I'm going to call a handyman. They got this line. Like, you just, like, I saw a website.
Ask Rabbit.
I was like, I got to call somebody because I took it apart. Now I'll never be able to vacuum again. Right? I'm not that guy. Uh-huh. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm really good at a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My brother has the, what do you call that? Like, that fixer-upper guy. The
handyman?
Yeah, he's just like, oh, the lock's broken off. I'll just put the whole new lock. That's my brother. He's like, I'm like, but what tools do you need? He's like, I have everything. It's an Allen wrench.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't want an Allen.
Yeah.
I want to know the first thing about the lock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I concede that if something breaks, I got to call somebody.
Uh-huh.
I'm good. Like, so, Mattitude, if I have to put it together, because I know it's gonna get worse from here. Gratitude, if it's unboxing, unveiling gifts. Mm-hmm. And my woman gives me no gifts at all.
Oh.
Which is hilarious. She don't give me no gifts. She didn't get no gifts. She's just like, nah, I put everything on the bed. It's already there. I'm like, but I didn't unbox it. Like, you didn't give me the pleasure of unboxing it. You're evil. She's like, I unboxed it. I wanted to open it. I'm like, what? This is the worst. Like, let me.
My husband opens my gifts for me.
I'm serious.
And he says, because he's helping me.
Oh.
He likes unveiling.
Yeah.
He has a thing. That she likes it.
Handed me a gift and started opening it.
For he's
me.
Like, oh my God.
Oh, can I?
You're going to love what's in here. That's her. She's like, I got you a bag.
Yeah.
Look. And it's already out of the. And I'm like, I wanted to open it. But I've learned, I swear, a relationship is not about love. A relationship is about understanding that that other person's going to have things that you're just going to have to be like,
yeah, hey, that's your thing.
Okay.
That's your thing.
I got my things.
Yeah.
I got my things. And she's okay with it. And I'm like, that's how the love becomes love. Sure. Is when you're like, I love you so much. Mm-hmm. That as crazy as you make me, I still love you.
Yeah.
That's real love. Like, as crazy as you make me, I still love you. She lays on, we watch TV. I swear this is true. She brings the whole bed to the sofa. Like, I see her moving furniture into the living room to lay on top of me to tell me the TV's too loud.
What?
Can you look so loud? I'm like, it's a surround sound. It was designed to be loud. I like it loud. But it's too loud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you just were in your bed and you came out of the bed with my bedroom and put it on the sofa. Now I'm sweating. And I can't hear anything. I got to keep going. What did he say? He said that the guy, the daughter never came home. And I'm like, okay. Heaven forbid I put it on four. I'm four. She's losing. Like, it's a nighttime ritual where I'm just like, I concede. I'm just like, I love you so much. That at this point, what am I going to argue about? Did you want to lay down on top of me?
Yeah.
And this is your cozy thing that you do with me? I'm just like, I'm lay down. Cause I'm. And I go, can you please go in your bed now? And she goes, I am on my bed.
Uh-huh.
Look, like, yeah. She makes believe she's sleeping. I'm like, you are evil. It's a thing. But yeah.
Mark, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us and sharing your matitudes and gratitudes. It's so great to sit here and chat with you after all these years of knowing you and knowing you as a comedian, but getting to know you even more personally.
Yeah.
Like, this has been great. Thank you so much. I'm grateful for you coming and spending some time with us.
Thank you. I'm grateful for you having me. And I'm grateful that I remember when we did the Ha Festival, I was really grateful at that time that weirdly, out of everyone that was there, that you and I talked life and comedy the most.
Yeah.
And I really do. I always take that as a moment where I'm like, in that moment, I didn't know. But looking back, I'm like, that was so good. It was just so good to talk comedy with someone like you, who's a real comedian and loves to do comedy like I do. I love doing this thing. And like-minded, like-hearted people is always amazing. So thank you for just being Angela Johnson.
You're welcome.
I'm me, you know.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. Bye-bye. Ha ha ha.